Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The conservative gathering, CPAC, always makes news. Sometimes it's someone who spoke there. Sometimes it is a major political kickoff. Well, apparently there was something missing from CPAC this year. It has to do with abortion and pro-life issues. Why was it missing? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the Conservative Political Action Conference and social issues, Dr. Michael New. He's visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What is CPAC?
CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Conference. It takes place typically February every year. It's where a lot of conservatives gather to listen to speakers, network, and exchange ideas.
How many years have you been attending this conference?
I've been a consistent CPAC attendee since 2003. I was living in Boston at the time, and it wasn't that hard to get from Boston to D.C. And just as a college professor and as someone who does a lot of writing for conservative publications, it's usually worth my while to go. So I think I've been to pretty much every CPAC since 2003.
What is the event like? Describe this kind of days-long, lots of speakers and panels.
There are a wide range of speakers. You know, there's a lot of elected officials. President Trump spoke at the conference on Saturday night, and that certainly got a lot of attention. But there are other well-known speakers as well, like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida spoke. Florida Senator Rick Scott spoke. There was a pretty good range of elected officials. And also think tank scholars, journalists, other conservative activists get time at the podium. There's also an exhibit hall where various conservative nonprofit groups set up shop and try to recruit new members and talk about their plans and projects for the coming year.
How has the event changed over the years?
Yeah, it's interesting that CPAC, you know, when I started attending about 15 to 20 years ago, used to really pride itself on being an event that really promoted kind of a wide range of conservative speakers and a wide range of kind of approaches to conservative political ideas. That's changed. The conference in recent years has become very, what I would say, Donald Trump-centric, that nearly all the speakers who come to CPAC support President Trump. And President Trump certainly is very popular amongst conservatives and amongst the Republican grassroots. But there are significant voices within the conservative movement that are skeptical about President Trump or who dislike President Trump. Those voices, by and large, are not heard at CPAC.
How do you explain this year the lack of a pro-life panel at CPAC?
Yeah, it was disappointing. Even though I think CPAC is a good conference and I enjoy attending, I was very disappointed that there was no pro-life panel at CPAC. In fact, I think this is the first CPAC I ever remember attending where there was not a civic panel dedicated to sanctity of life issues. CPAC, to some extent, is kind of pay to play. And those groups that pay to be sponsors of CPAC or co-sponsors of CPAC, they have a lot of say as to what topics are considered and what speakers are featured. And pro-life groups this past year really did not invest in as much at CPAC as they have done in previous years. That the only pro-life group that had a booth in the exhibit hall was Students for Life of America, and I'm glad they were there. But other Beltway pro-life groups were absent. And I think that since they weren't in the exhibit hall and since they were not serving as sponsors or co-sponsors, I think that explains why we did not have a pro-life panel at this year's CPAC.
So how do you explain the big pro-life groups' failure to invest there and therefore get a greater voice at CPAC?
I would say that, you know, CPAC, first off, is in Orlando, Florida. It's no longer in Washington, D.C., and I think that makes it a little bit less appealing to some of the Beltway pro-life groups. And I'll just say that CPAC is not cheap. I mean, if you want to serve as a sponsor or a co-sponsor, that will set your nonprofit back thousands of dollars. Money is not unlimited, and resources are scarce, and people have to make difficult decisions about how to spend scarce resources, and it just may not be worthwhile for some groups to sponsor a conference and pay to send staff to Florida. So, you know, I can understand why CPAC is not for every nonprofit, but even if pro-life groups, you know, weren't investing, CPAC should have still had a pro-life panel. I mean, pro-life issues are very salient right now. Supreme Court is reconsidering the Roe v. Wade decision. There's a chance this summer Roe v. Wade can be reversed. I mean, even if the pro-life groups weren't as active as they previously were, I still think CPAC made a mistake by not having a pro-life panel.
Are other social issues also falling through the cracks?
To some extent, I'd say the answer is yes. The only real panel that dealt with an issue of interest to social conservatives was there was a breakout session that dealt with transgender issues. Terry Schilling of the American Principles Project spoke on that issue. I was glad to see that issue included. But again, there was nothing on abortion. Also, nothing on assisted suicide. And I think that's going to be a very important issue as well. In fact, it already is. We see many states starting to legalize assisted suicide. That's something that concerns conservatives, especially social conservatives. That's an issue I think should have been addressed as well.
Tell us about the straw poll that was conducted there at the conference.
Yeah, one of the highlights of CPAC is the annual straw poll. They always ask CPAC attendees who they think the Republican Party should nominate for president in the next election cycle. And this year, over 2,500 CPAC attendees voted. And not surprisingly, President Trump finished first. He got 59% of the vote. That was a better margin than the 55% he received in 2021. Finishing in second was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. He got about 28% of the vote. Now, obviously, he was helped by the fact that CPAC was in Florida, but I think the statistics I saw found were that only about 37% of attendees were from Florida. So DeSantis, you know, gets his law support both from in Florida and from outside Florida. The other interesting kind of lesson from the poll is that no one else is really breaking out of the pack. In that poll, no other Republican broke 2%. So it seems that Trump is in a very strong position. DeSantis is in a strong position if Trump does not run. And besides that, no one is really breaking out of the pack.
How would you describe Governor DeSantis's pro-life credentials?
You know, Governor DeSantis seems very solid on pro-life issues. Earlier in February, the Florida State House just passed legislation that would protect unborn children after 15 weeks gestation. The state Senate in the next few days looks to pass a bill that would protect, again, the same bill that protect preborn children after 15 weeks gestation. Governor DeSantis has indicated that he would sign such a bill. So that's a good kind of incremental win for Florida pro-lifers. Some people are a little bit disappointed that Florida did not go with a heartbeat-style bill, the way Texas has. I don't know if they could have gotten such a bill like that through the Florida state legislature. But Ron DeSantis is pro-life, and I think should he be a Republican presidential nominee, he's somebody that pro-lifers should support.
Finally, I'd like your thoughts on the failure of the Women's Healthcare Protection Act, the failure of it to pass in the U.S. Senate this week.
Well, I think this was just political theater. I think Senate Democrats knew that the Women's Health Protection Act, which would have explicitly legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, was never going to pass. That Republicans had the ability to filibuster such a bill. Senator Joe Manchin made it pretty clear that he was not going to support this bill. And I thought distract from other issues. I mean, right now we have a situation where Russia's invading Ukraine. I think, you know, that issue is far more important right now than having a vote on a bill that was just going to go nowhere. And again, I was disappointed that pretty much every Democrat voted in favor of such a bill. I mean, Joe Manchin was the one exception. He voted, you know, against that bill. All the Republicans held firm and voted against it. But again, I think it was a poor use of Senate time and resources, especially with the situation in Ukraine right now.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and columnist for National Review Online. You'll find a link to his columns at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. New, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we won't be avoiding social issues at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You'll hear presentations like Making the Case for the Free Exercise of Religion with former Attorney General Bill Barr, Making the Case Against Christian Silence with Dr. Albert Mohler, and Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rasanen on Making the Case for Christians in the Public Square, the premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case is June 24th and 25th in River Forest, Illinois. On the other side, Dr. Aaron Brewer joins us to talk about the Equality Act.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.